Turn over with me to Philippians chapter 3. We are going to stick around verses 14 and 15 again. You may say, well, he tackled most of that last week, but there's just so much into it that we can read into it, and I want to go a little more in depth on 14 and 15 as well. So, in verse 14, it says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any man, if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And the whole lesson this morning is going to be about that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Each and every one of us has a call. Each and every one of us has a calling. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are called. And you can see in verse 15, it says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. And as this passage was going on, it's saying, therefore, it's the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, I press towards that mark. We talked about that last week. But we have to have the mind of Christ. And Philippians is a book for mature Christians. The Philippians were very strong in their faith, and it's a mature book. And he says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. And that word perfect does not mean flawless and sinless and, you know, perfect in the eyes that we think about. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Again, that word perfect does not mean we are a perfect being. The minute we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we do become perfect in the eyes of God. But the way I look at it, that word perfect, basically, we are equipped. We are thoroughly furnished. We have everything to be perfect. You know, if it was saying we were perfect, we wouldn't need verse 16. But the Word of God is there for correction. It's there for instruction in righteousness. But we are given everything. We are fully equipped, and we are thoroughly furnished to be perfect. You could think of it as a soldier. As a soldier gets ready to go out to war, he has a sword, he has his helmet, he has a shield. He can go out and totally bomb the whole entire thing. But he is fully equipped. He is thoroughly furnished. He is ready to go to battle. And that is what that word perfect there means. You can look over at Romans chapter 12. We went through it probably last year. We went through the book of Romans. And the first 10, 11, 12 books, I mean the 12 chapters, are all about doctrine. If we don't have doctrine, we can't begin to change our life. It starts with doctrine first, and then it becomes application. But if you look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2, you can start with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, it's a transformation. We have to understand doctrine, and then we have to allow that doctrine to transform us and change us and understand what the Word of God is talking about. The Philippians were ready for that. They were a mature group of people. They were ready to understand the mind of Christ, and they wanted the mind of Christ. But if you go back to verse 14 again, it says, I press towards the mark. Each and every one of us needs to press towards that mark. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. As young people, we think we have all the world before us. We have all eternity. We have hundreds of years to live. And I can remember sitting out there thinking, oh man, I got plenty of time. Now I'm 38 years old with three kids and feel like I'm old. So time flies by you. And we need to start this now. Whatever age you are, wherever you're at, we need to start now. And I think many times, like I said, as a kid, we always look for the next thing. Well, when I get married, I'll feel good. When I have kids, I'll feel good. But that mark was created by the Word of God, and we need to press towards that mark. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it talks about redeeming the time because the days are evil. We don't know how long we have. We don't know how long we'll be here. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. But we have to redeem the time. We have to press towards the mark of what the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Again, every one of us are in a race. Whether you're an unbeliever, whether you're a believer, we're all in a race. We could be running totally different directions. One day that race will be completed. One day we will meet the Lord in the air. Or one day we'll meet him at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to meet him one day. And maybe you are a believer, but at the same point, maybe you joined the race and sat down. Said, "I don't need to run this race. I'm good. I'm comfortable." But the Apostle Paul talks about that fight, that we got to fight the good fight of faith. So we can have that crown of righteousness. It's your choice to run that course. Look over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul a lot of times compares the Christian life to this race that we're in. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. "Know ye not that which run in a race, run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, as not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air." Again, we're all in a race. You can run a race for success. You can run a race for earthly things. Or you can run a race for eternal things. Many people run that to get a crown that will not last. But others will get a crown that will last forever. Which race are you running? What is real? The Word of God is real. The resurrection of God is real. The hope in the Lord is real. And we need to run and obtain what God calls us to. We need to have the mind of Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. There's just so many analogies of this race. And we're going to get into the high calling of God that he has called us. But in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Again, another race analogy. And in verse 14 of Philippians, he says, "I press towards the mark for the prize." We talked about that a little bit last week, but that prize is the eternal life. The prize is the hope that we have in Jesus. The prize is that crown of righteousness. And the only thing that matters today is what we do for eternity. I'm not telling you to go quit your job. I'm not telling you to go change your life. But the only thing that matters is what we do for eternity. We have a responsibility to take care of our families. We have a responsibility to take care of our bills, and that's part of our responsibility. But the only thing that matters is what is for eternity. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Same thing, fight the good fight of faith. He challenges us, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He tells us to lay hold on eternal life. To me, that's telling me I have to live the life today the way I would live it in heaven. Worship the Lord, serve the Lord, give of service. Lay hold on eternal life. If so many people today say, well, that'll be in the future. I'll get my life right later on. I'll volunteer later on, or I'll witness later on, or everything is later on. But again, it talked about redeeming the time. The time is now. But again, we have to lay hold on eternal life, because that's what the Lord has called us to do. You know, I think many times, if it fits into our schedule, we'll witness, or we'll share the gospel, or we'll do that ministry that the Lord has called us to do. But instead, the ministry or the gospel or all that needs to be here, and then our job fits around it. Our life fits around that. Like I said, that prize of the high calling in Philippians chapter 3. In that verse, he says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our calling to the Lord is to be of service to Him. And you know, I think many times we think maybe our calling is a ministry, our calling is a job, our calling is where the Lord wants us to be. And there's so much more to it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that He went to the cross to die for your sins. I can't help but get you, I can't get you out of this because this is your calling as well as it is mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And there's no higher calling than being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, this is your calling. This is what you are called to do. You are to go out there in the world and preach the gospel. We are to be of service to the Lord. You can look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And I think so many people think our vocation is our job, you know. But I think I disagree with that. Our vocation, he goes on, with all lowliness, meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's not talking about our career. It's not talking about our choice of ministry. It's not talking about we are called to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be lowly, meek, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, you can even see in Ephesians 5:17. In 5:17 he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Everybody always says, well, what's God's calling on my life? What is His will for my life? And I did it all the time as a kid. What does the Lord want me to do? I can remember sitting in the pew here, and all I wanted so bad was to preach or whatever. And every Sunday I'd go home and feel convicted and guilty, and that was Satan taking the pride and joy away from me because my calling was to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Whatever age you are, wherever you're at in life, whatever job you're in, you are to be an ambassador. That is the will of the Lord. You are called to lay hold on eternal life. You are called to be a part of the body of Christ. You are called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Timothy 2:4. These are just many things that the Lord has called you to do. And to me, maybe some of us are beating ourselves up for whatever career life we chose, whatever we're doing in our life. But this can help with that. In 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, "For who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?" Again, another calling unto our life. Number one, it is our job to share the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ wants all men to be saved. That is your calling. That is my calling. That is everybody's calling. And secondly, he wants them to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's two things. Number one, salvation. Number two is understanding the mystery of the grace of God. What was revealed to the Apostle Paul, that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life. That the body of Christ was a mystery. The rapture is a mystery. There's so much to the knowledge of the truth. And so many people get saved and that's where they stop. Or they may not even understand salvation, but we stop at the salvation point. But God has called us for each and every person to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Look at Ephesians 1:18. Again, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Jump back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Like I said, I always prayed, you know, what does the Lord want for my life? What is his calling on my life? What does he want me to do? And if we're praying that prayer, we don't understand the Word of God. He cares about every aspect of our life. He cares what we do with every aspect of our life. But our calling is to be the ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:15 it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." This is what our calling is. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." And it continues to go on. This is our great commission for us today. In the age of grace, this is what we are called to do. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." All of us have the ministry of reconciliation. We can share that with others. We can tell others about that. What is it? In verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." This is what we are called to do. We need to share the ministry of reconciliation. We need to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:6, as it says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We are already seated in the heavenlies if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a heavenly and it's a holy calling. In the beginning of every single book that the Apostle Paul wrote, he almost called us all the time saints. You can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Because the Corinthians were some of the most carnal people out there. So then it makes me feel good that if the Corinthians can be called a saint, I can be as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. We are called to be saints. We are called to be sanctified. We are called to be set apart. That is our calling. Look at Colossians chapter 3. I know I'm all over the place this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So many things that we are called to do. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, he says, let us therefore be as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Again, he tells us to have the mind of Christ. And he goes on to say, if you be otherwise minded, and you can tie that on in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. If you're otherwise minded, then you're not Christ minded. We're worldly minded. We're earthly minded. We're worried about the success of ourself and not the word of God. But in 18 and 19, it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. You're either a mind of Christ or you're an enemy of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be sanctified, set apart. If we don't know our calling, if we don't know how we're called, I don't believe we can be running the course. How can we run the course if we don't know what He's calling us to do? And me being up here preaching or whatever it is, that is not my calling. Anybody could fill this role. Anybody could do this. If they understand salvation and they understand the gospel, anybody can do this. But our calling is to be that ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our calling is to be sanctified and set apart. Our calling is to be different. Our calling is to share the gospel. Our calling is to be holy. And he goes on in verse 15 there, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded, if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I don't think he's going to reveal it to you in some miraculous way, but through the word of God, he can teach you this. If you're going to be a Berean, and I challenge you, never take my word for anything I say up here. Be a Berean. Come talk to me. Don't just walk out and never come back, but let's talk about it. Let's discuss it. I don't know everything, but I'm held to a standard that I need to try and do the best to preach the truth of the Word of God. You know, the high calling of Jesus Christ is so important. And I truly believe it has nothing to do with your job, your career, even a ministry. These pastors that have 5,000 people in their church, that doesn't mean anything. It's what they're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. The ambassadorship. Are they set apart? Are they sharing the gospel? Are they preaching the gospel? You know? And in 1 Timothy 2:4, it says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth? Like I said, I used to sit here in church. Sonny hated going home with me on Sunday afternoon because I was like, I've got to be preaching. I've got to be teaching. I've got to be doing something. And you can say it was the Lord or Satan or whatever it was, but I beat myself up over it. And the true calling of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's at the age of 20 or at the age of 40, is being that ambassador. Whether I'm behind the pulpit or out there in the field or whether wherever you're at, it doesn't matter. Share the gospel. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do. That's what he wants us to do. That is what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach the Philippians. You know, run that race. Where are you at in the race? Are you sitting down? Are you crawling? Are you running? Are you talking to everyone? Redeem the time, because the time is now. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the analogy that the Apostle Paul has given to us, this race that we're running. And you know, maybe some of us have sat down. Maybe some of us ran that first mile in under 4 minutes, and then we said, I can't do it anymore. Whatever it is, I urge each and every one of us, including myself, that we get back in there and that we continue, whether we're crawling, whether we're running, whether we're sprinting. If I have put my faith and trust in you, I am an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a high calling that is. You have chosen me to share the gospel with someone else. You have chosen me to understand the Word of God, that I can share it with somebody else. You have chosen me. You've chosen these people in the congregation today to share the gospel. That's what we're called to do. And your desire is to have all men to be saved. And the only way that can happen is through each and every one of us. We thank you that we can all continue this course, and that we will fight the good fight of faith, and that we will each receive that crown of righteousness. And we pray in Jesus' name.